This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
This is Behind the Rose, where Bachelor Nation meets country music and everything in between. Here's your host, Blake Horstman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Behind the Rose podcast. I'm your host, Blake Horstman, here with my buddy, as usual, Eric Bradley. And today, we're talking to Scotty McCreery. We first heard of Scotty 10 years ago when he won season 10 of American Idol. Since then, I've gotten to see him a couple times at the Grizzly Rose and, of course, at Stagecoach. He has had a few hits and is on a roll now. His last four singles all went to number one, and that puts him in some pretty exclusive company. We'll talk about that and his relationship with castmate Lauren Elena and his storybook romance with his wife and just how long they've known each other. His new song is out now at Country Radio, and it's already climbing up the charts, and you can get it wherever you get your music. And I need a little U-time, red wine. Here's our chat with country star Scotty McCreery. Thanks for coming on, Scotty. How you doing, man?
Hey, man. I'm all right. Thank you all for having me.
Absolutely. We were just saying, you are officially, those of you that don't know, this was actually a podcast about 2 years ago, and Scotty was the last episode on the Behind the Rose with Eddie, our producer, back in the day. So he's the first repeater we've had. So
there we go. There we go. Like you said, we'll try not to make this one the last. Either. That wouldn't be good for me. Yeah.
I think I actually have seen you at Grizzly Rose a couple times.
Love it there.
And I actually saw you at... How do I forget the name of the Stagecoach?
Oh, yeah. Just that small
Stage
little
Stagecoach is what made you famous. Come on, Blake.
True. So, yeah, man, I've seen you a couple times. How many times have you played the Grizzly Rose?
I think we've been there, four or five times now. And always a good time. And there was one time we got to play it back-to-back nights. And Eric was there. We were just hanging by. We had our bar cart out by the bonfire, just hanging. So awesome. We always have a good time there.
That was a celebration, too, kind of, because that was Red Sox whooping the Dodgers' ass.
Yeah. We were watching the World Series there that night, too. That's right. That was a good time.
Did you sell out the second night there and get the black belt buckle?
I don't remember. I got a belt buckle. I know that much. So
I'm sure, yeah, you always sell that out now. God, hopefully we get back to it, man. That just made me miss it, thinking about it, man. I miss live music so much.
I'm right there with you, man. It's Zooms are great, but I'm glad we can at least do something, you know, this year, but it's nothing beats just a full-on crowd and everybody man. So hopefully soon.
Thank you so much. How's quarantine been for you? Have you been spending it mostly in Nashville? Where you been?
So our main residence is Raleigh, North Carolina. So we've been here. We just kind of been still trying to get around a little bit. I've been in Nashville a lot writing, kind of trying to finish up this next album. And then we'll kind of wake up and say, hey, you want to go to the beach for a day and come back home? It's like, yeah, or the mountains. And so we've still been trying to, you know, have fun through all this, but just a safe way to have fun. So, yeah.
Yeah, amen. And that's the hard part, is finding that safe way to have fun. Exactly.
I know. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And speaking of a new album, you just released your new song, U-Time.
Yeah.
Did you write that in quarantine, or has that been something you've been working on for a little while?
No. So this is one of those songs that's kind of like the be careful what you ask for type song. We wrote this one early 2019, and we had just come off of Five More Minutes, and This Is It. And we were working in between. So we were like just getting after it on the road, busy, busy, busy. And my wife was a pediatric nurse, so she was at the hospital. And so it would just be so many days and nights where I'd be coming home from the road and she'd be going at the hospital. Like we'd say hello and goodbye at the same time. So we wrote the song when we weren't getting a lot of U-time. And now here we are in 2020, and that is all we're getting is U-time. So it's been all right.
It's probably been nice, all right, to be at home for a little bit. Because we always say, like, you guys are so used to the road. Like, you've been doing it for God knows how long, you know, since you're like 17. So
yeah,
it's got to be a bit of a change for you.
Yeah, it's all I've known my whole adult life. So it's been a change. I will say, like, later part of last year, I was getting to that point where I was like, man, we're going to, you know, still work next year, but maybe just do a little bit lighter load. And then, you know, here we are now. And it's kind of given me an appreciation again for just the road and what we do and my band, who's like family to me. And so I'm missing it for sure. But yeah, it's definitely gained that appreciation again for it.
There's some silver lining through all of this. And that's one of them. I mean, I'm never going to take for granted just going to a bar now, you know, like, let alone a concert. Seriously. You know, I'm never going to take that for granted again.
Oh, I hear you, man. I can't wait for it to all get back.
Speaking of, you've been doing this like your whole life. I didn't even know this about you. So you were on American Idol, and I think
surprise.
Yeah, surprise. Yeah, you were the youngest winner ever of American Idol. How old were you exactly?
16 when I auditioned, and then 17. Yeah, youngest male. Jordan Sparks got me by a little bit.
Which I didn't know she was on it either.
Like, I know, right?
It's pretty crazy, man. Yeah. God, 17, man. That's I couldn't even get up in front of my high school class and do a speech, let alone national television, you know?
Dude, I think it was good for me that I was kind of so ignorant about just the whole business and anything. I was holding my mic sideways. Like, I legitimately had no clue what the heck I was doing. So I just went out there and kind of winged it and was like, well, I might as well have some fun. So, but that was just supposed to be like a good story to tell my friends. That's the only reason I auditioned, was like, well, I'll get to see Randy and Jennifer Lopez and I'll come back home and go back to high school and play ball again. But it all kind of worked out a little different, I guess.
Say, look at you now, man. Look at you now. Yeah. Is music something you always wanted to do? And was it country music always something that you wanted to do?
Yeah, it's just something I always did. People would be like, you know, when's the first time you remember singing? It's like, well, I don't remember not singing. I was always annoying my friends, like singing Elvis Presley or just, I was that kid who just was always doing that kind of stuff. But, and I grew up on it too. My parents, especially my mom, like always had that old classic country music playing. So I was singing Randy Travis and, you know, George Straits and I mean, just all those folks my whole life. So to be able to do this is crazy, but yeah, I was always kind of around it.
Like, how did you get on American Idol? Did you nominate yourself? Were you nominated? Were people like not surprised around you? Like, oh yeah, you're going to crush it kind of thing.
Nah, you know, for me, I was always a fan of the show and kind of in the back of my head was like, when I'm finally old enough to audition, I'm going to just give it a shot and see what happens. So finally came around to where I was old enough, and funny enough, like, kind of the summer before that, you know, I was playing baseball. I guess it was the fall or whatever, but I was doing like a play, a musical at high school, but also playing baseball. And it was the same season. And my coach was just like, just hating the fact that I was missing practices. I was a pitcher. I was missing my bullpens because I had to go to this musical practice. And he was like, just giving me a hard time. Like, oh, what's next, McCreary, American Idol, that kind of stuff. And I was like, well, you know, maybe one day. And you know, there it was.
Wow.
Pretty crazy.
If you had to pick like one fun memory, you know, from that whole experience, was I'm sure at 17 was a bit of a blur. And, you know, like, what would it be? Like, what would be something that really stuck out to you?
Dude, every single day was like an experience. Every day we were doing something else that was just insane. I mean, there was one night we got to sing with Stevie Wonder. And that same night, Hulk Hogan showed up and was just chilling with us backstage. And so I'm like so pumped, and I get a picture with Hulk Hogan. I'm like, man, I can't wait to post this to Twitter or Facebook, I guess, back then. And then I saw myself next to the guy. And I'm just like, there is no way I'm putting that picture out there because I looked like an absolute shrimp. But it was always just crazy stuff like that. People would just be coming to hang backstage. And Beyonce was there one time, and her and her mom were there together. And it was top three, I think, at that week. And so we're singing for her and all that. She was our mentor. And as soon as the cameras go off, she pulled me aside, her and her mom both, and said, boy, we just love you. We're rooting for you the whole way. I was like, oh my God, this is Beyonce freaking talking to me. it was just always something crazy. Yeah.
What an experience. Did you expect kind of have that was your jumping point, you know, for your, cause then, I mean, so you've had what, three number ones now? You're still really young, which I think a lot of people don't realize. You've been in the game for so long. Did you expect like, okay, this is like the start of something good? Or did you think you just kind of go back to regular life? Like, how did that look?
I think we were in such a bubble on Idol. I really didn't know what was going on. I think for me, when I finally realized, oh, this is actually like a big deal kind of thing, was top 3 week. We finally got to go home for like less than 24 hours. And my town had like 28,000 people, still does, like 28,000 people in the town, and like 35,000 people showed up to the park just to, you know, go do the hometown thing. And I was like, this is insanity. So it was kind of then I was like, oh my gosh, this is something crazy. And as soon as the show finished up, we start recording an album. And again, you're talking to the kid that was holding his microphone sideways. I didn't know how do you make an album? So we just jumped right into it, man. And I just was like, y'all show me the ropes, tell me what to do, and I'll do it. And I just tried to learn on the job, I guess.
Because there's probably so much pressure to like strike while the iron was hot right off the show.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And everybody, I mean, and you want to, we wanted to be out there and stuff, but it was, we were on tour making albums. It was just go, 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 you know, as soon as the show was done, you know, no time to catch your breath.
Are you glad that you had that experience going into what you do now? Or do you feel like you're trying to kind of like separate yourself from that? Do you embrace that?
I think it's a little bit of both. You know, I think it's huge going on that show. And I heard Lauren Atlanta say this recently. It's like that show makes you instantly famous, but it doesn't make you instantly successful. And I think for us, you know, I think anybody that goes on that show, when you come off of it, you're like a TV star, a huge TV star. But nobody goes on that show to become, you know, a TV star. They want to be an artist and writing songs and be known for their songs. So that was definitely a process. You know, it took, I'd say, years up until 2016, 17, I think, until Five More Minutes hit, that it was like, oh, this is Scotty, the singer, the artist, and not the guy from Idol and stuff. So I'm glad it happened, but I'm also kind of glad we're, you know, 10 years away and we're still around. Hopefully we can do it for another 10 years. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I was going to ask, because I was thinking your single See You Tonight was probably what had separated you from TV world to being like taken seriously as like, hey, I'm here. I'm here on the country scene now.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. That was huge. And that song, that was like one of the first co-writes I ever did in Nashville. I was so scared to write songs because everybody's so good, you know. We finally got into it, and See You Tonight definitely started, you know, the away from Idol, away from the 17-year-old kid kind of thing, for sure. So that was big for me.
I think you've done a great job, because like I said, I just knew you started your career, the coaching star,
you
know.
So yeah.
Speaking of you, Lauren Atlanta, I mean, are you guys still, obviously she was on the show with you, for those of you who don't know, did you guys ever write music back in the day together? Like, are you guys still close?
Yeah, you know, she's always been like a sister to me. And I think what we went through, and I mean, it was like a ringer. And I mean, I was bagging groceries. She was, I guess, a year younger than me. We were both in high school, to all of a sudden be on the biggest show. I mean, so what we went through, you know, was so crazy. With me living in Carolina and stuff, I don't see her as much or you know, a lot of folks as much. But it's always so fun to catch up with her and see what she's up to. And she is, talk about somebody who's crushing it. I mean, she is insanely talented. I'd put her up against anybody vocally in Nashville, and she is she's been on a tear the last few years. So I'm pumped up for Lauren.
Yeah, absolutely. No, she is killing it right
she's
now.
She's sick. Yeah,
we'll be right back. You talked a little bit about songwriting. What is your process, songwriting? Because I always find it interesting. Every musician kind of has a different process and what they look like. They bring other people's influences, you know, their own life influences, that kind of thing. So what's your process when you write a song?
Yeah, you know, I think it's always, every write's different and stuff, but songwriting is one of those things you can't like really turn off. It's kind of an everyday thing where your radar has to be on. And if you hear something funny or think a cool line or a hook or just something unique, you always, I got just a list of titles and stuff on my notes on my phone, and probably 95% of them are awful, and you'll go through and you'll be sitting there in a write and you'll be like, what was I thinking this day, and delete. And but every now and then you find something that's really cool and stuff. But I mean, I love to get a bunch of guys or girls together and the camaraderie in the room, and you know, just making music. To me, it's so cool that you start the day with like a blank sheet of paper, and by the end of the write, like you've created a piece of art, you know. So I always think that's such a cool thing that did not exist, you know, 5 hours before you started writing.
That's so true. It's so cool to think that song that you wrote on, you know, a note page can make such a difference in a lot of people's lives. Like, that's what's super cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy to think.
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, a song like Five More Minutes for me, I wrote for my granddaddy, and to hear other folks be like, man, that song helped me through this or that, or, you know, my last football game or whatever. And it's always cool when a song that's so personal to you, you know, helps other folks as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's so cool. I wanted to talk to you about your wife, because if people don't know, you guys have known each other for quite some time. She's helped you through everything.
Yeah.
So how you guys were kindergarten, right? Is that right?
Yeah. We grew up together. So we met in kindergarten, and honestly, it's kind of one of those, you can say it, it's kind of one of those love at first sight things, because we still have her kindergarten diary. And she has her name and my last name like written in hearts all over her diary. it's pretty wild that it actually worked out all these years later. But she's awesome, man. Like, she's so much cooler than me. And she's just an amazing gal for sure.
How has this year been for her? being a nurse and everything. And
the funny thing was, we were going on the road with Chris Young this year. We were doing the whole big tour, and it's always so fun when you get to go do those, you know, the shed tours and stuff going around the country. So, and Gabi has never toured with me before. Like, she'll come out on a weekend and like hang for a couple of days, but she's never like full summer road dog it, you know, do your laundry at the laundromat kind of thing. Like, she's never done that with me. So, in March, she took off to prepare to go on the Chris Young tour with me, and she kind of transitioned away from the hospital. So she got out kind of right before COVID. But I mean, funny enough, like, her, she's such like a helper. She wants to help and be there. Like, it's been kind of killing her not being there during all this, cause she wants to be helping families. So that just speaks to who she is, but she's been all right.
We always like to talk about with musicians and contestants of, you know, other television shows and everything, the mental health and how they get through some of the anxiety, stresses, and pressures. And I can't imagine what it's like to be a musician on the road, away from your family, dealing with the pressure, the crowds, all of that. Like, what is something you do on the road that kind of helps you through all that?
Sleep. I get a lot of sleep.
Try and get as much of that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I it's those bunks, man. It can be dark and you don't know if it's 1 a.m. or 1 p.m. But I don't know. I think it's a huge thing on the road to love who you're out there with. And for me, the guys in my band, most of them have been there since day one, 2011. We started, as soon as I got the show, they started doing shows with me. So, and they're like family. Like, we talk about everything together. And I mean, there's some bands out there that they're just, there's always a constant changing and stuff, which everybody's got different strokes, different folks. Everybody's got their way. But for me, it's just so comforting to like walk on the bus, see you guys. If you're going through something, you can talk about it. If there's a game on, you're, you know, talking crap and all this. So it's like a family thing out there for us. And I think that's huge as far as being able to deal with the road, is liking who you're on a, you know, little metal cylinder riding across the country with. So it can get a little testy, but if you love them, it's all good.
Yeah. See, I can't imagine going on the road with somebody you don't like, because you guys spend like every waking minute together, you know, like you can't escape it.
Most of the time I spend way more time with my band and my crew than I do with my wife or my family. So you better like who you're out there with, because it's important. Yeah.
So you got anything coming down the road? Have you been writing music while in quarantine?
Yeah. We even though we haven't been on the road, it's still been like full steam ahead with the job and with the album and writing and stuff. So, we're still working away. We got, I'd probably say 3/4 of the next album finished, and probably going to go back in February to finish it up in Nashville. And so that's been fun. You know, I've picked up my guitars more this year than ever before, because it's just kind of been a way to pass the time and, you know, think about songs and stuff. So still working away.
Yeah. Awesome. So what is something you want to leave to your fans, your family? What is your legacy as a musician or as a family man or whatever it is moving forward?
The deep question. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big one, man.
You know, I think when I started all this, the goal was to always impact people in a positive way through my music. So, you know, the last few singles that have gone out, the ones that have been so personal to me that have actually worked on radio, because we've sent a lot more singles to radio that didn't work than that did. But to see these last few singles really work and then be so personal, it's only like 5 more minutes or a song like This Is It, which is our wedding song, which you see other couples, you know, walking down the aisle or doing their first dance to. That to me is what it's all about, is you know, having the music leave a positive impact. So that's what I want to do. Also a family man, a great husband, all those kind of things. But you know, as far as what I do, it's want to put a smile on people's faces, make them dance, make them cry for a good reason, you know, love, so all that good stuff.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're doing that, man. Big fan over here. So yeah, man, keep killing it. Yeah. Where can people find you as far as, you know, website, Instagram, all that, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff?
Yeah, it's all at Scotty McCreary, Instagram. I just started a TikTok. Man,
how's that going?
Dude, I tell you what, I was like so against it. I think every new social media that comes out, I'm like, why would I need a Facebook? You know, back in 2008. Now, why would I need a Twitter? TikTok, I was like, I'm not doing those stupid dances. Like, I'm never doing that. But I've been like addicted to it. Like, I've been watching all these things, and like we were out there in the mountains yesterday, I guess it was. And we were climbing Grandfather Mountain. It's a mile high swinging bridge. And it was like 80-mile-an-hour sustained winds. It was like hurricane force winds and a snowing 8-degree wind chill. And we went across, and the whole time I just kept telling my wife, this is going to be a great TikTok. This is, so yeah, you can find me there too. I'll be posting over there now. Probably still won't be dancing or anything, but I'll be there.
Right. And I think when I first thought about getting on TikTok, I thought it was all dances, but there's so much more on that.
Yeah. App. And like, yeah, you find great recipes and like how to, yeah, you know, put something on the grill. It's like, oh, that looks good.
That's exactly what I use it for, cooking and cleaning tips.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Absolutely. It's
super addicting. I'll find myself scrolling through that thing and like an hour later, I'm like, what am I doing? Stop.
Yeah. It's brutal. I 100% agree. So we're all over that for sure.
Yeah.
Before you get out of here, actually, how are the Patriots looking this year?
Oh man, I don't know what to do with
even
my hands.
I'm a big Red Sox fan.
Yeah.
Everything else, New England, nah.
It's been an interesting one, man. I tell you, before the season started, before we even knew we had Cam, it was like, I think we have more. I don't want to make excuses, but I think we have more starters, more people that opted out for COVID than any other team. So it's like, well, this is going to be a great year. But yeah, it's been a little painful to watch. I'm not used to this. I don't know what to do with my hands. Like, we're not going to make the playoffs. So tough.
It's kind of interesting as a Boston fan. Y'all have been so damn spoiled in every sport. And, you know, you're still so young.
Dude,
you have no idea what it's like.
I know. My dad and my drummer, Joe, is a huge Broncos fan. And he always is just telling me, you just don't know what it's like. And you're going to. Karma is going to come because I'll talk so much crap on the road and stuff. And
it's going to be a big reality check here.
Yeah. Oh, I guess I'm ready for it. I don't think I am, but my dad's always been like, dude, you have no idea the pain and suffering Red Sox fans and how went through and how bad the Patriots were. And all my whole life has been great. So yeah,
even the Bruins, man, Bruins,
know, put
hockey, up the Bruins,
the Celtics were winning championships.
I know. Yeah. I will say the Bruins are like the one Boston team I don't root for, because
I know you're a big Hurricanes fan.
Oh. We live like really close to the arena, so we just walk to the games and get fired up. So
fun.
Big old Canes fans here.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so so obviously, do you think it's, because I've been seeing this argument, Belichick or Brady? I mean, Brady's looking like he's gonna make the playoffs, man.
Yeah, but it hasn't been all roses for the Buccaneers either this year. I mean, there's been a lot of people who've lost a lot of money betting on the Buccaneers this year. So it's we'll see how it works out for him. I think, I think Belichick and Brady always did so much with so little. And now like Brady's got like a plethora. He's got like the best receiving core in the whole league right now. So expectations are probably a little high.
It's almost more of a question like if it was McDaniels or that he's missing more than Belichick.
I thought that because McDaniels and Brady, they went together. Belichick's always been the defensive-minded coach. So
we hate McDaniels.
Yeah, I know. It didn't work out here.
Dude, I know. I'll go back to my drummer, Joey. He is – I mean, he's got the old school Broncos tattoo.
I was going to ask. He has the big tat on his back.
Yeah, I mean, he is as dedicated as it gets. I mean, legitimately, like, it makes or breaks his day how the Broncos do. but, yeah, he every time McDaniels gets shown on the screen, he just flips him off on the bus or something. Like, he hates the guy. Hates him.
That's pretty funny.
He did us dirty.
he ruined our franchise for a while, man.
Yeah. Oh, man. Y'all are saying exactly what I hear every time he gets shown on the bus. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we'll see what happens. We've got a few more games left this season, so
we will see. Yeah. We'll see. I'm in the hunt for our. We have a little Nashville league, fantasy league. It's my first year in it, and I got a bye this first week in the playoffs, and I got a chance to win the whole thing on my first year. We'll see
there
what
you
happens.
Uh-oh. Hopefully, there's a nice little pot for that.
Yeah. It's a good little pot, and I think. Something to do with dinner or something. So yeah, we got a good little thing going. So we'll see.
There you go.
Cool, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on. It was a lot of fun. Good to see you
and
again.
Hopefully we'll see you soon somewhere. Yeah.
Oh, next year at some point. Cannot wait to get back out there on the road and get back to the Rose, Grizzly Rose, or just anywhere. Yeah. Just wherever they say go, I'll go.
Right, I just a parking lot at this point, you know?
I just want to play, man. Absolutely.
Yeah, amen. Awesome. Well, thanks again, man. And hopefully see you soon.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Be sure to follow our Instagram at Behind the Rose Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, comment, like, and give us all 5 of those damn stars. Behind the Rose is recorded on site at the world famous Grizzly Rose or wherever we happen to be. See you next time, Behind the Rose.